lion strong now. I tell you, in the worst of time, you got to cry. Cry. I said cry. My mama used to say, I love the Lord. He heard. I said he heard. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Yes. Yeah. Moses, I said he began to cry. The baby cried. She put him in the Nile. And just drifting down the Nile River was a Pharaoh wife. Can I get a witness? The daughter there, she was bathing and she saw a basket coming down the Nile River. I want to tell you, you can come out of what you're in. Yes, sometime when you go through the worst of time, you come out crawling. You might come out in a wheelchair. You might come out like Jacob with a limp. Yes, but come out of the worst of time. Can I tell you how Moses came out? He came out in a little basket. Yes, he did. Can I get a witness? She fished him out of the Nile. Yes, looked at the baby. I heard her say, I call him Moses. Remember now, Joseph is dead. But here come Moses to lead them out of the worst of time, to lead them to the promised land. Have I got a witness? Can I tell y'all? That's Moses. But I got somebody in the worst of time. I got somebody. Yes, I got somebody to rock me when I'm weary. Shelter me in times of storm. Can I tell y'all who it is? Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus, my joy in sorrow, my hope for tomorrow. He died. I said, he died. He died one Friday, slept one Saturday. Yes, it was the worst of time, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, give God a hand of praise. I don't understand why folk don't like good preaching. Look at somebody, tell them that's good preaching now. Look, the doors of the church are open. There may be someone, you've heard the word of God. Lord, have mercy. Jesus said, the very day you hear my heart, he said, harden not your heart. If there be one, will you come?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
If there's one, will you come?
Love.
One more time, if that's one where you count.
I love Jesus.
God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank God for the word.
We at the Tree of Calvary Baptist Church hope that you were blessed by our pastor's message. Join us at our Sunday services. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. and worship services at 10:15 a.m. Second Sunday, 6 p.m., the Lord's Supper is served, and midweek services are Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Come and join us. God has a blessing with your name on it. If additional information is needed, you may phone the church at 318-941-2877. That's 318-941-2877. God bless you until we meet again at this same time and place. That would be the day when you are listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
48th chapter of Isaiah. There is a word from the Lord, Isaiah chapter 48. Thank you, God. Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 through 11. There is a word from the Lord. When you found it, say amen. If you're still looking, look at the screen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 through 11, there you will find these words. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to cut you off. See, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. And that is the way the New International Version reads. And for those of you who read it from the King James Version, the essence of the passage is still the same. For his name's sake, he says. For his name's sake. Thank you. Young people, thank you, ushers. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And God, we pray that you would speak a word into our hearts, that we would be reminded that you're God and that you're God all by yourself. We honor you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, let all of God's people say amen. 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 The story is told of a soldier in the army of Alexander the Great, who was brought before this great world conqueror for court-martialing. And after listening to the charges and the evidence brought against them, Alexander the Great turned to this soldier that was facing condemnation and simply and succinctly asked him, "What is your name?" The soldier replied, "Alexander, sir." In disbelief, the great general asked him again a bit more sternly. This time, the soldier replied with fear and trepidation, standing there trembling in his shoes. Alexander the Great said, "Young man, what is your name?" He said, "Alexander, sir." And then the general angrily roared at him one last time, "What did you say your name is?" And this young man stood there almost petrified and said, "Alexander, sir." At this point, the general shouted at him and said, "You have been tried and found guilty of hideous crimes, and yet you say your name is Alexander? I say to you then, either change your conduct or change your name. For no one can bear the name Alexander, my name, and do the things that you have done." And my brothers and sisters, whatever else this story teaches us, I believe that we learn from it the high regard that Alexander the Great had for his name. In fact, the regard for his name was so high until he didn't want anyone to bring shame or insult or injury to his name. And we need to know today that our names are important. Do you hear me today? I said our names are important, for they represent not only who we are, but how we should want to be viewed by others. Our names are important. As a matter of fact, you know that whenever somebody wants to get you, whenever somebody sets out to try and destroy you or hurt you, you know the first thing they do, they mess with your name. But my brothers and sisters, this story teaches us that our names are important, our reputations are important, and folk will try to destroy you by harming or bringing harm to your name. You got to guard your name. You've got to guard your reputation. As a matter of fact, you've heard me say before, it's not what you call me. It's what I answer to. Because I've had to learn that, amen, that even though people will try to destroy you by scandalizing your name, you've got to stand on the truth of who you are. You've got to stand on the reality of who you belong to. And you finally reach a point in your life where you say, let them say whatever they want to say. But as long as I know, as long as God knows, then I will be all right. But your name is important. Solomon said a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Your name is important. And as important as Alexander the Great's name was to him, and as important as our names are to us, you need to know that God is equally, if not more, concerned about his name. How do I know it? I know it because the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God is concerned about his name. Tell your neighbor, God is concerned about his name. As a matter of fact, when you read the Bible and you study the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you discover in a real sense that God's dealings with humanity throughout time past and present has been to a large degree because of how it would reflect upon his name. When you study this text, you understand that 200 years before Israel would be exiled in Babylon, Isaiah tells his generation that their offspring were going to someday be held captive, and the reason God was going to allow them to fall into the hands of Babylonian captivity is because he will have been disappointed and tired of their ways. They've been carrying his name, but they've been acting in a wrong way. And when you read this text, you understand that God was tired of how they acted. God was tired of their attitude. God was tired of their behavior. And don't you sit here and get comfortable this morning. Because it's easy to point fingers of condemnation at other folk for the dirt that they do. And then think that somehow the dirt that you do is hidden and unaware to other folk. Can I get a witness here today? The Bible is right when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And somebody taught me a long time ago that whenever you point a finger out there at other folk, you need to be careful because there's some fingers pointing back at you. But God was upset with his people. He was upset with them. Number one, verse 1 tells us in this 48th chapter that he was disappointed. He was upset with them because of their hypocrisy. God says, in a real sense, y'all have been name dropping my name. Been running around talking about we're God's chosen people. We're God's ecclesiastical people. We are God's representative. Come on, y'all know how folk name drop. And I have come to find that one reason your name gets messed up sometimes is because folk try to act like they know you and they don't really know you. But they had been name dropping God's name, but their lip style and their lifestyle didn't line up. Look at what verse 1 says. It says, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. God said, you've been dropping my name. You've been, amen, using my name to get things. You've been using my name to get places, but your lip style and your lifestyle don't line up. Said, I'm disappointed in you because you're hypocritical. That's why I press the fact that we ought to be real people. Amen. Serving a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. Because guess what? You can't fool God anyway. Can I get a witness here today? You may as well go on and be real, because God knows your sin issue. God knows, amen, the baggage you're carrying. And a whole lot of folk know too. So you ought to go on and be real. Don't be hypocritical. God says, I'm angry with you because you're hypocritical. But then secondly, God says, I'm angry with you because you're hard-headed. Look at verse 4. He says, because I knew that thou art obstinate. That word means hard. Hard-headed. See, we like to talk about hard-headed children, but there's some hard-headed adults. Can I get a witness today? You remember the poem I like to share. You read in the paper and hear on the air of killing and stealing, crime everywhere. You sigh and you say, as you notice the trend, this young generation, oh, where will it end? But can we be sure that it's their faults alone, that maybe a part of it isn't our own? Are we less guilty who place in their way too many things that lead them astray? Too much money to spend, too much idle time, too many movies filled with passion and crime, too many books not fit to read, too much evil in what we say, too many children encouraged to roam, and too many parents that won't stay home. Kids don't make the movies, they don't write the books, they don't, amen, that paint gay pictures of gangsters and crooks, they don't make the liquor, they don't run the bars, they don't make the laws, they don't buy the cars. They don't peddle drugs that addle the brain. That's all done by older folk greedy for gain. But the poem goes on to say that instead of us pointing fingers at young folk, come on, adults, we've got to examine ourselves. That's what this skit was all about. We can't tell them to do as we say and not as we do. We've got to try to line up our lifestyle with the word of the Most High God. Stop being hypocritical and stop being hard-headed. One reason pastors catch so much hell is because of disobedient grown folk. And then you want us to guide your children, Pastor, help my child, help lead him in the right way. And yet when they see you in your element, you won't do what the pastor says. You won't do what the Lord says. As a matter of fact, every other word out of your mouth is negative against the pastor, against the church. And then there you are on Sunday morning wondering why they don't want to get up, wondering why they don't want to get in the car to come to church when you have talked about, you have criticized, you have been negative and pessimistic about everything in the church. Tell your neighbor, we're hard-headed. God said, I'm going to allow you to be in captivity because you're hypocritical, because you're hard-headed. But not only that, said, you're also stubborn. Same verse, verse 4, he said, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. This neck, the neck, you know, you can have, this brain is a powerful instrument. Y'all know that? Oh my God, as we look at this young representative in Arizona who was shot in the head, amen, a brain injury. Oh, but thank God, God is working out her healing, and we ought to all be praying for her and all of the families of those that were affected by that tragic incident. The brain is a powerful tool. Scientists say that we only use 10% of it. Some use less than that. But if you would just think about the fact that with 10% of the brain power that we use, all of the great things that man has been able to do, but as powerful as your brain is, your brain can say, head, I want you to turn to the right, or I want you to turn to the left. But if your neck locks up, you got a problem. I heard a woman say to her husband, yeah, you can be the head, but I'm going to be the neck. And if you don't act right, I'll lock up on you. God said, I'm disappointed in you because you are hard-headed and you are stubborn. Oh, my God, we could really have church if there weren't so many stubborn folk in the church. Everybody wants it their way. Everybody wants things to be the way they want them to be. But you need to understand that God gives leadership because God, who is all-knowing, he's omniscient, knows that we will never progress, we will never go forward if everybody's at the helm. Somebody got to be a leader. Can I get a witness today? So he said, I'm disappointed because you're hypocritical. I'm disappointed because you're hard-headed. I'm disappointed because you're stubborn. But not only that, in verse 8, he says, I'm disappointed and I'm angry with you because you won't listen. Look at what verse 8 says. He says, yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. God said, I'm angry with you because you won't listen. You won't even open your ears to listen. And you wonder why you're not being blessed. You wonder why your life is in shambles. You wonder why, amen, the bottom is falling out of your situation. You need to open your ears and hear what God is saying. Do y'all know that when God is talking, that's not a time for you to be talking? When God is speaking, that's a time for you to be listening to what the Spirit is saying. A whole lot of folk are in captivity and bondage because they won't listen to God. Tell your neighbor, you better listen to God. They wouldn't listen. And God says, I'm gonna allow you to be in captivity. And then what I like about God, and I said it last Sunday, is that the psalmist said that his mercy endures forever. Even though God led them into captivity, the same God said, I'm going to bring you out. And he said, I'm going to bring you out because when you come out, I want to make sure you don't come out talking about you did it. He said, I'm going to leave you there long enough for you to realize that without my help, you ain't going to make it. I'm going to leave you there long enough for you to realize that if I don't bring you out, you ain't coming out. Ain't it crazy how God delivers us from stuff and we got the nerve to turn around talking about I was lucky. I never will forget when the World Trade Center was destroyed and there was a man who made it through all of that fire and ash and debris and rubble, and they put the camera on him and said, how did you make it out? He said, I was lucky. Baby, I wish I had been through that kind of situation, and the Lord brought me out and put the camera in my face. Can I get a witness here? As a matter of fact, some of y'all, the camera's in your face right now, and somebody's wondering how you made it through your trial, how you made it through your trouble. And with the camera in your face, you ought to be willing to say, if the Lord had not brought me out, I never would have made it. If the Lord had not been on my side, I would not have come through. But praise his name, he's been good to me. God said, I'm angry with you. Hypocritical, hard-headed, stubborn, won't listen. But then in that eighth verse, he also alludes to the fact that they were in trouble because they followed their sin nature. That latter part of that verse, he says, "For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb." He deals with the issue of our flesh. And y'all, a lot of Christians are mixed up and twisted because they don't want to deal with the flesh issue. They want to act like since I walked down the aisle and got saved and gave my heart to God, amen, I don't struggle with smoking anymore. I don't struggle with fornicating anymore. I don't have any battles with any sin because I'm saved now. I'm in the church now. I'm looking good now. But y'all, as long as you got flesh on you, there's a struggle going on. I don't care who you are, from the pulpit to the pew, if you got flesh, and stop letting these televangelists and folk fool you into believing that somehow now that you're saved, you don't have to struggle with sin anymore. If you ain't struggling with a sin issue, you dead. Everybody in the room. Because from the womb, some stuff comes attached to this flesh. Paul said over in Romans that sin has its power because of the flesh. If I didn't have any flesh, I wouldn't have to worry about temptation. I wouldn't have to worry about sins. Amen. And parents, you do your children a disservice when you somehow try to fool them into believing that if they just go to church every Sunday, they won't have to battle with temptation and that you have somehow arrived because you read the Bible. Amen. But we've got to let them know that as long as you're in this flesh, there's a struggle going. At least there ought to be. If there ain't no struggle, you need to check your salvation. If you ain't struggling with nothing, you ain't read the word. Can I get a witness today? So God said, I'm angry with you because of your hypocrisy, your hard-headedness, your stubbornness. You won't listen. You follow your sin nature. And y'all, you need to understand. Look at verse 9. He says, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off." Do y'all know what God was saying? God was saying, "I have every right to destroy you. I have every reason to wipe you out. I would be justified if I cut your life off right now, because you're sitting in here acting like you made it by yourself. You won't give me praise. You won't do right. You keep being hypocritical. You keep being hard-headed and stubborn." And see, sin has a way of lulling us into this false reality that since I've been getting away with it all this time, I'm going to keep on getting away. But I heard one of the young folk in the play, I believe, say that be sure that your sin will find you out. I think I heard one of the young folks say that what's done in the dark will come to the light. God says, "I've got every reason to destroy you. Every reason. I have every right to cut you off." But he said, "The reason I'm not going to do it, the reason I'm going to defer my wrath against you, it has nothing to do with you. I know you cute, but that ain't why. I know you got money, and you do put a little in the pastor's love offering, but that ain't why. The reason I'm not gonna cut you off is for my name's sake. I promised Abraham that I would make of his seed many nations." God said, "My name is on the line. I have every right to destroy you. I have every right to cut you off. But the reason I'm not is because my name, my credibility is on the line. I promised Abraham that I would lead his children into a land flowing with milk and honey. And while you're sitting there quiet, you need to understand that the reason you're sitting in here this morning is not because you've been